Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. It's already just been a blessing being in church. I trust that you believe that and sense that as well. The Bible, if you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Ruth, And I like character studies. I believe there's a lot to learn from Bible characters. It's the what God has preserved for us throughout the scriptures. And when we read that and study those Bible characters, God has preserved what he wants us to learn from each one and learning those biblical principles that never change. And so on Wednesday nights, we usually are in a Bible character study, and we just come through the study on Joshua, and what a tremendous, tremendous Bible study that was. We went a little over a year, I think a year and 2 months in our study on Joshua. And I believe that what we, the Bible character we're going to be going into would be the Bible character of Ruth. And tonight I know we have Faith Promise budget to present to you, and we're going to leave enough time to be able to do that. And so I just wanted to take a few minutes here and to introduce to you our next Bible character. And I think it's you're going to find it a blessing. I know that I have already found it a blessing as I've been preparing to study and to preach on the Bible character of Ruth. When you read the book of Ruth, it might seem like Naomi is the main character, especially in chapter 1. But God did not name this book the book of Naomi. Amen. So I think even though there's a lot there with Naomi, and she has a large part in this particular book of the Bible, but this is a book that we have brought to us, and I think preserved, and God has presented it to us as the book of Ruth. And I think that we're going to find some good things out about Ruth and be able to find the blessing that God has for us in this book. So go ahead and stand with me tonight. We're going to be reading here in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Epaphrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you once again, thank you for the privilege, the opportunities that you have given each one of us that are here tonight to be in this midweek service. And God, I just pray that you would help each one to sense your presence here tonight. And I know we have a little business to take care of, but God, as we focus on this introduction to the Bible character of Ruth, I just pray that you would help each one to open up to receive whatever you have for them in this preparation. I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, Naomi is the believer. She's of the Jews. She and her husband go make the decision And I think we're going to find that this is this first chapter is a lot of insight into decisions and how God judges the decisions that we make by the opportunities that we have. Very powerful, and we'll get into that next Wednesday night. Very powerful to understand not everyone has the same opportunities. You will not give an account for something you could not have done. If you did not have the opportunity, you could not have done it if you didn't have the opportunity to do it. Bad decision or wrong decision, good decision. But the decisions that God brings into our lives, the opportunities that God brings into our lives, we will, and we are accountable, and we will give an account for how we make those decisions, whether it's a good decision or bad decision. We find here that Elimelech would have been the head of the home, and he would have been the one most accountable for the decision they made to leave Israel, the land of Israel, to go into the land of the Moabites. And we find that Naomi was his wife. And yet we find here that Ruth is the one that the book of the Bible is named after. And so there's a lot to look at in the others, in the family of the Jews, and Naomi and Elimelech's family. But we find here that even in a bad decision, God can work to be glorified. He can call something good to come out of something that's a negative. And we find that as he reaches out and he will give Ruth an opportunity to make some life-changing decisions, we find a couple things about God when we read and study this book and we look at the Bible character of Ruth. It's proof that God is no respecter of persons. It's also proof that he has a love for all people. So we look here in verse 1, and it gives us a lot of the background. It gives us a lot of what's going on in the lives of this Jewish family, and then introducing us into the life of some of the Moabites. Now, the Bible first of all says, when the judges ruled. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So that tells us a little bit about the time frame. We know that Joshua had led the nation of Israel into the promised land. As he led the nation of Israel into the promised land, he was able to lead them to victory. They defeated all of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. The Moabites are right next to the land of Canaan. The land of Moab is right next to the land of Canaan. They would have known about all of the battles being fought in the land of Canaan. The Moabites would have known about Israel coming forth out of Egypt and seen how their God had delivered them and brought them all the way to the promised land and then was able to give them the land of Canaan. So the Moabites would have been very familiar with Israel and the God of Israel. After Joshua died, soon afterwards, there was rebellion in the land. And as there was rebellion in the land, the Bible says, and even Judges here, 21 and verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They understood what God told them to do, and they rebelled against what God told them to do because they wanted to do whatever they wanted to do, and that brought the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel. God would raise up judges, and these judges would judge Israel and then lead them back to God. And they would usually, the people in the land would serve God as long as the judge was alive. But as soon as that judge died, then we find that the people would go back to doing whatever they wanted to do. And when they would go back to doing whatever they wanted to do and they rebelled against God and his law, God would bring judgment back upon the nation of Israel. That is something that is repeated over and over again as you read the book of Judges. So somewhere in between the judges, whichever one was judging, but there was a time in between each one, every one of the rules, and the people no doubt had rebelled against God because God judged them. This was a time when the judges ruled and there was a famine in the land. God would judge the land of Israel with famine. So there's a famine in the land. God's will for God's people, when God is chastening or when God is judging, is to turn back to God, not to run away from it, try to hide from it, try to act like it's not happening to you, chalk it up as coincidental. 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, let me just read this to you. You know the verses very well, I'm sure. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the people knew this. God had instructed them through Joshua. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, God, speaking to the nation of Israel, he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, which would bring a drought and a famine, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, which would also bring a famine, or if I send pestilence among my people. So God is giving them there what he will do in judging them. They turn away from God, then this is somehow he's going to judge them through the land. But he says, if my people then, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's the DNA of God. That's just who God is. That's how God works. He worked that way in the Old Testament. He works that way today. So it's a day, it's a time when the judges rule. It's a time when the nation of Israel had been a death of a judge. The Bible didn't tell us which judge or what point, but it was a day when the judges ruled. It was in between judges because there was famine in the land. God's judgment was on the land because they had turned away from him. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. So it tells us what's going on, what should have happened. All of the nation of Israel, all the people, all of God's chosen people should have got together, confessed their sins, turned back to God, prayed and sought his will, and they would have had the forgiveness and cleansing of God. They would have had the blessings instead of the judgment of God. Very clearly, that's what it tells us there in verse 1. Telling us a lot about what's taken place. Very important because there's speculation on why they would leave and on and on and on, but the Bible tells us why they left. They would be out of the will of God, because we are never to run away from the judgment of God. The judgment of God is not going to go away until it accomplishes what God has it there to accomplish. Don't run from judgment. Moab was not affected by the famine, which again reveals that it's the judgment of God. It's just not coincidental. It's just not just the way the nature is working here. No, God is in control of nature. He established it. And we find back in Egypt, God was able to pinpoint where he wanted to judge as he judged Egypt, but yet his children did not have the same effects on their lives as the Egyptians had. It was God's judgment. So as he was judging the land of Canaan, the land right next to Canaan, the land of Moab, was not in a famine. They were not experiencing a famine in the land because they were not God's chosen. Sometimes we wonder, well, how come it's always happening to me? And we're in a Sunday school series and Sunday morning that helps us understand trials. And not every situation that we find ourselves in is based on the judgment of God, but you have to consider the judgment of God. Is this trial brought on because of the judgment of God? You have to consider that because God wants you to know why you're in that trial. And he also wants us to know what he wants us to learn in the midst of those trials. Moab was not affected by this famine. Well, that shows us then, since it's a nation right next to Israel, there's only probably 30 or 40 miles and going from one to the other where they were and where they went to Moab. Well, if you look, let me just read to you in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, another biblical principle helping us to understand is chapter 12, verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. If you're God's child, he deals with us through chastisements. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That means that you're not God's child. There was a lot of sin going on in Moab. Moab was a very heathen nation. We're going to see that in just a minute here. I'm going to take you to some verses here. But even though they were probably engaged in more sinful activity than what Israel was, the difference was God was not dealing with Moab. They were not his chosen people. God was dealing with his chosen people. God is more concerned about his chosen people than he is about the ungodly. He has a plan and a purpose for his chosen people. His chosen people know him to be real. His chosen people, if you're saved, you know the Bible to be God's word. You know that you are different. You were bought with a price. You're a new creature. God expects more from you because he's given you more. And with him giving you more comes accountability for what we have, whether it's talents or whether it's opportunities, whatever it might be. So Moab was not affected by the famine. They would have been aware of what was happening in Canaan as well. The Moabites were not believers. They did not worship the God of Israel, the Creator God. Genesis in chapter 19, go back there with me. And that's important because Ruth was a Moabite. She was a Moabitess. She was raised to believe what the Moabites believed. She had no concept of who the God of Israel was. God had no expectations of Ruth as a lost person. That's important. That's why we need to understand about Moab. The book of Genesis in chapter 19 tells us where the Moabites came from. In Genesis 19, verse 36, Lot, after being pulled out by the angels from Sodom and Gomorrah, he had raised his family in Sodom and Gomorrah. Most of them died, but he had two daughters that lived, but had the religious beliefs of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Thus were both of the daughters of Lot with child by their father. He got him drunk. There was incestuous sin, and both of their Lot's daughters had children. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites. unto this day. Raised by those girls that were indoctrinated in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Was there a possibility that they would turn out to believe in the Creator God? The other, the younger, will also bear a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Amnon. The Moabites and Ammonites were Israel's enemies. They were hostile toward Israel and worshiped false gods. They hindered Israel's travel from Egypt to the Promised Land. They paid Balaam to curse Israel. Yeah. These are the Moabites. That's where this Jewish family moved to. Wow. God was aware of Ruth, but Ruth was not aware of God. You know, there's so many people in this world that God's aware of everybody. God's aware of every soul because he gave that soul life. Whether it be in America or Africa or China, God loves the world. He loves all humanity. That's why he has given his chosen the commission of taking the truth to all the world. Help the world to understand that there's a Creator God who loves them, who sent his son to die for them, and wants to give them everlasting life. I believe that's a good lead into our Faith Promise Missions budget, because that's what we're doing. God is aware of them, but they're not aware of God. If they're not aware of God, how can they be saved? If they're not aware of God, how can they make right decisions in any area of life? Your belief in God, in a Creator God, will set you on a path for life. And somebody that does not believe in God is not going on in the same direction as those that believe in God. We're seeing the influence of a society in the United States of America that do not believe in God. If they do not believe in God, they cannot make the right decisions on whom they want to have in authority. And what kind of laws they want to have passed. How they want to live their lives. The remedy is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The remedy is to help people to understand morality is not what you want it to be. It's what God's established it to be. And somebody that does not believe in God cannot make right decisions, and they're headed in a wrong direction. Ruth. God is aware of Ruth. Ruth is not aware of God. She's being raised in a heathen land. They did not have a relationship. Same as today. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 2, and I got to quit because this is just an introduction. But Ephesians in chapter 2. And you hath he quickened. The believers in the church of Ephesus, he's made you alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. You didn't know that God even existed. There was no relationship between you and God because you were dead in trespasses and sins. But those that are dead in trespasses and sins, they don't see their sins and their trespasses as against a God that they don't even believe exists. How can they? Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. What other way is there to walk? That's where you're being raised. That's what you're being taught. According to the prince of the power of this air, he is the one that's orchestrating it all. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, there is a God who is rich in mercy. For his great love, he has a love for all humanity. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Ruth does not know what she's getting ready to experience. God has the whole world and eternity in mind all the time. How one person's decision at this altar can impact those around the world. Just the one decision to surrender to the mission field. One decision to start giving to Faith Promise Missions, enabling us to support more missionaries. One decision here can impact souls around the world. And God sees it all. He saw Ruth. He did not lead Elimelech to disobey his command and go to the land of Moab. But God can use whatever he chooses to use. An introduction. I think you're going to see things from a different perspective, not from Naomi's perspective. We're going to look at it from Ruth's perspective. She's lost. She doesn't know that God exists. And she's being raised in the land of Moab. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for this introduction, this understanding, a little bit of the book of Ruth. And I pray, God, that we would have a desire to learn all that you have for us to learn from this Bible character. Lord, as we just presented an invitation, just after this presentation, God, if there's any decisions that need to be made, Lord, help people to make them right now, where they're at, in their pew. Pray, God, that you would just continue to work in us and through us as a people and as a church. Bless now as we get into our budget meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.